Good morning. It is good to be here today. Why don't we pray and then get started? God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. I pray, God, that as we read your word today, that you would speak through your word, that we would hear your voice, that your spirit would help us to understand and to apply what you say to our lives so that we would be changed people because of looking at you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we are starting a new series today. And that means that the last series, obviously, is over. In the can, we're on to bigger and better things. There are new cards in the back. I try to have them the week before the series so you can invite people, you know, the week of the start, but I didn't get them done in time. So, there are new cards in the back. If you can't see these well from the back, they are on the table as you leave. What we do is we invite you to grab a few, throw them in your pocket, in your purse, if you have both. Just have them with you. Have them in your car. Have them around. Don't feel pressure to invite people. However, these are a tool that we want to put in your hands so that you can, if there's a moment and opportunity and you're like, I should invite that person, you have something that you can use to say, hey, come and see what we do on Sundays. So that is what this is. We change them with every series for the purpose of just having something new. So if you invited somebody a few months ago and you see them again and I should invite them again, but I already gave them, it's different. There's a new series, so it's a new excuse, kind of, we milk that. So use that with us. The name of the series is called Contemplating Christ, and the idea is that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. He's the second member of the Trinity. He is the principal figure of the New Testament and of the Old Testament. He is the foundation of our religion. I mean, we are Christians. Even the name that we take for ourselves and our identity is derived from Christ. We say we follow Jesus. He's the center of it. He's what it's all about. And the ironic thing for me it hit me a while back, several months ago, he's the center of everything. I don't talk just about him that much. I talk about him to get to other things. I talk about him kind of like, you know, parenthetical statements about other. I'm talking about something important and it's about, you know, that's, well, because it's about Jesus. It's, you know, the salvation in Christ. But I'm really talking about salvation. Or I talk about the story of God and how Jesus, it was the culmination, of the story of God. But I'm really talking about the story of God. And Jesus is just something that, you know, by the way, in parentheses, Jesus is in that story. We talk about the gospel and sharing the gospel and the gospel of good news of life in Christ. It's, you know, in Christ. It's that's kind of tacked on at the end, but we're really talking about the gospel and sharing the gospel. We talk about Jesus a lot, but what I find is that a lot of the times when we talk about Jesus, he's tacked on to the main topic. He's not the main topic. He's part of whatever we're talking about because it all comes from him. Can't really be a Christian and talk about the Bible without talking about Jesus. But the main topic that we talk about are all these other things. How to follow Jesus. Well, what have we been talking about the last 5 weeks? It's how do you follow Jesus? It's about us following him. It's not as much about him. That's not the central theme. And even when we think about, when we think about what we want from Jesus. What do I want? We look at Jesus as the way that we can get what we need, either in this life or in eternity. He's a means to the end. He's something tacked on to the other themes that we talk about. But many times, at least when I'm teaching, when I'm listening, we talk about Jesus as part of other topics, but he's not the topic. He's not the big thing that we talk about, and I started feeling a weight of that's not good enough. Yeah, we can't talk about the gospel without talking about Jesus. We can't talk about the cross without talking about Jesus. We can't talk about all these other things without talking about Jesus because they come from him, but we should also sometimes just talk about Jesus, just Jesus, not all the other themes as the central theme with him kind of tacked on because he's part of it, but we should talk about just Jesus. And so that's what I want to do in this series, and I invite you to come along with me, and I'm kind of going to be forced to unless you have a bigger microphone. That's wrong. No, I would invite you to come along with me in this conversation, in this discussion, because I want to take some time just to talk about Jesus. And we'll see other things that come from him, but I want him to be the center of our discussion for a while, until we run out of the cards. Just until we run out of themes, until we're done talking about Jesus, then we'll move on to other. But I want to talk about Jesus for a while. Not Jesus because he's part of the gospel, Jesus because he's part of this, the cross of Christ, but we're talking about I want to talk just about Jesus. And the reason, I think there's biblical reason for just talking about Jesus, for focusing on Jesus primarily, and everything else is kind of extra and window dressing. And yes, we get all of that, but what we're really talking about is Christ. There's biblical precedent. I want to just run down a couple with you today. If you look at, well, God does it. The most incredible thing to me is that God, the Father, the first person in the Trinity, so order of, I mean, he's over and above and greater than Jesus submits to him, but God is centered on Christ. God talks about Jesus and focuses on Jesus and directs us to focus our attention on Jesus, not on what Jesus will do or has done or all the other things, but on Jesus himself. Look at Matthew 3:17, we're going to jump around a lot, and what that means is we're going to read things out of context, hopefully, that I'm not using them out of context, but we're going to look at them without you seeing the whole context as we read the verse. So, what I would encourage you to do in this series is bring a pen and paper along, jot down the verses that we read, use those for your Sunday afternoon devotional as you're drifting off into a nap, and read the context around the verses to encourage yourself and also to make sure that what you're hearing on Sunday mornings is not verses pulled out of context and twisted from their original context. So we're going to be jumping around a lot, but it's kind of the way we need to do this. So look at Matthew 3:17. Jesus has just been baptized. He comes out of the water. The Spirit of God descends on him. He is filled with the Spirit. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God the Father focusing on his Son. Look at Luke 9:35. This is God the Father. They're on the mountaintop. They're having this experience. Some of Jesus' followers are with him. They're seeing Moses and Elijah, and they're starting to say, "This is incredible. There's Moses and Elijah and Jesus," and it's like they're all together. And then God speaks, and look at what he directs them to do. Verse 35, Luke 9, a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." God the Father focusing on his Son and directing us to focus on his Son. Look at John 17, at the end of Jesus' life on earth, and what God says to, Jesus is talking to God, but he's saying what God is going to do. And so look at what Jesus says the Father does. John 17:5, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." The Father focuses on the Son. The Father directs us to focus on the Son. The Father glorifies the Son. God exalts and glorifies Jesus, the Son. How much more should we focus on Jesus? The Spirit also focuses on Jesus, and he focuses us on Jesus. And when we see Jesus only as a tack on to the other important themes we're talking about, I think that we're not being fully led by the Spirit, because the Spirit, the Bible says, leads us to focus on Christ. Look at John 15. I'm going to bounce around a couple places in John. John 15:26, Jesus is promising in this section, he's talking about what it's going to be like when he's gone, and he's talking about the Spirit coming to his followers, to us, and what the Spirit does. And look at some of the things the Spirit does. In verse 26, John 15, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father," look what he'll do. "He will bear witness about me." The Spirit talks to us about Jesus. He focuses us on Jesus. When we're reading the Bible and all of a sudden something pops out and it's about Jesus, it's the Spirit focusing us on Jesus. Look at John 16:15. all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take, he's talking about the Spirit, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. When Jesus is gone, right now, he's in heaven, he's not with us physically, we have his Spirit, he connects us, the Spirit connects us with Jesus. That's his ministry, one of his great ministries. Look one verse up, verse 14. He's talking about the Spirit. Jesus says, he will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit exists to talk about Jesus, to connect us to Jesus, to glorify, to make Jesus be seen. And so if you say during this series, well, we're just like talking about Jesus, I need something practical because of my marriage or my what's going on in my life and how do I talk to this person about, I need some help for me practically. I think what we're doing is very biblical, at least for a time, because the Spirit, what does he do? He exalts Jesus. He makes Jesus be seen. That's his ministry. We follow his guidance. When we focus on Christ, we also focus on Christ, or we should focus on Christ, I think, because the Bible is focused on Jesus. The Bible is not a collection of principles and stories and things with Jesus tacked on as a way to get them or a way to do them. The Bible is about Jesus, and all the principles and all the practical things come out of that. He is the central figure in the Bible. At least that's what he thought. Look at John, or start with Luke. Look at Luke 24, verse 27. Jesus is talking to some of his followers after he was resurrected from the dead. Ironically, they don't know that it's him, either because his body being resurrected has been changed, or he was wearing a hoodie, or whatever the version of the hoodie in their day was. In some way, they didn't get that it was Jesus. But he was talking to them about himself. And so look at what he says in verse 27, Luke 24, 27. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, so Moses are the first five books of the Bible, the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament. So he went through most of the Old Testament. What did he do? He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Bible is about Jesus. So Jesus, in this long walk that he took with these guys, he opened up the whole Bible from memory and said, okay, see, when Moses said this in Genesis, and when Jeremiah said this, and when this, and when David said this, see, he was talking about me. He was talking about me. He was talking about me. Jesus is the center of the Bible. Look at John 5. Jesus is talking to some of the religious leaders, and look at his kind of reprimand to them. John 5:39. You search the scriptures. Jesus talking to some religious leaders who were really off track. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. So he's saying you read this, you dig into this, and it is they, what, the scriptures, that bear witness, that talk about me. He's saying the Bible talks about me, guys. That's it's all about me. That the Bible is about me. So we should focus on Jesus even more than we focus on many of the other themes that come out of Jesus and out of the Bible, because the Bible is centrally, primarily about him. Another reason we should focus on Jesus is because it's the goal of our salvation. It's the goal of the gospel. The goal of the gospel, we don't come to God through Christ in order to get something other than Christ. Now think about that for a minute. If you come to God Christ to get the end goal, the biggest thing you want, to get salvation, to not go to hell, to be a changed person, we get all of that. But what is the highest thing that we get when God transforms our hearts and makes us new people and makes us know and love him? The highest thing that we get is not that we're not going to go to hell, that we're God's children. The highest thing that we get is that we get to see and love and appreciate God and Christ himself. That is what we will be doing for eternity. So if our goal is to be better people and to live like good people and to be, you know, have a connection with God and to have our sins forgiven and not go to hell, we're missing the point of what eternity is all about. Eternity, the point of eternity and the point of our lives right now is to see and savor and know God and Christ. And so when God makes us new, it is so that we can see him. And if that sounds just weird, look at what Paul says. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 3, but in verse 6 he says that. But we'll start in verse 3 for a little bit of context. And even if our gospel is veiled, so if people were talking and people just don't get it, it's like, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, who's that? Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. That's why at one point in your life, maybe it was just like, it doesn't make sense. I don't get it. I don't even want to get it. I have no attraction to God and to the Bible and to things of God. It doesn't even appeal to me, and I don't get it. What's the big deal? It seems to be just going to church on Sunday. Okay, if it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from what? What does the devil keep them from? From becoming God's children and going to heaven? No, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of what? Of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So what does Satan want to keep us from doing? Seeing Jesus. And then what happens when we're saved? What's the biggest thing we get when we're saved? For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for God, Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts. So that veil has been lifted. We're able to see. We're born again to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We get to see and love and appreciate Jesus. That's what we get when we're Christians. That's why we should focus on Jesus, because that is the goal of our salvation. It's also in the New Testament what Jesus' followers did. When we focus on everything but Jesus, and he's kind of just a tack on to all the other themes, we're cutting ourselves off from what Jesus' followers actually did. They focused on Jesus. Everything else just flowed out of that focus on Christ. Look at what Paul says in Philippians. Philippians 3, verse 10. And this is one of those passages that I would have liked to just sit on for the whole day, because it is just an incredible passage, but we have a lot to read, so we're just going to look at a verse. But look at what he says about Jesus, his goal, what he wants, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. He says more before and more after, but look at what he wants, his deepest desire. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to share in his experience what he lived. I want to become like him. I want to know him. That was Paul's desire. And then you think about it, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he traveled around and started churches. And he talked about Jesus to people, and you would think, well, he probably talked a lot about the gospel and a lot about, you know, he used Jesus and the power of Jesus and the power of the cross to get these churches started. And, well, actually what he says is that he focused on Jesus, and churches starting were just a result of that. People being saved were a result of that. Everything else was just a result of focusing on Jesus. He didn't use Jesus in his ministry to get the churches started and get people behaving and get people to be baptized and get everything working. He focused on Jesus, and all that other stuff happened as a result of focusing on Jesus. He actually says that. Look at 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. When I was with you, when I came to start the church in your town, I talked about Jesus. That was it. And I think about that. It's like when I think about, you know, like when we were starting our church, and even every year, it's like, I want to talk about the vision. I want to talk about reaching people. I want to talk about lost people. He's like, I talked about Jesus. I'm sure he talked about all the other stuff, but it was as it flowed out of talking about Jesus. He talked about Jesus. That was his main message, his main theme, his main topic. It's what he talked about. So we're going to just take some time and look at Jesus. We're going to contemplate Christ. We're going to step back from talking as much. There will be practical application as we go through this. There always is. You can't read the Bible. You can't look at Jesus without seeing how your life should be different, without being called to be like him. There will be practical application, but our primary focus as we go through the next few weeks will be to lift up Christ and look at Him from every side, almost like if you look at a diamond that's been cut very beautifully. There are so many facets and so many ways that you can look at the diamond, so many sides to that diamond. If you look at Jesus as you go through the Bible, there are so many sides to Him, so many different functions and roles and names and things that He does and things that He is. Things that he will do, that if you can look at each one individually, and as we do that, we will have a sense of who Jesus is. And it is phenomenal what the Bible says about Jesus. It is an incredible study to do, so that is what we will do together. What I would like the goal of this to be, for it to be a little bit like Thomas. Look at John 20. I would like us to be a little bit like Thomas. Look at what happens at the end of Jesus' time on earth. He's been resurrected. He's appeared to most of His apostles, not appeared to Thomas. Thomas said, if I don't see Him, can't really believe. And you think of that, we call him Doubting Thomas. We give him a nickname. Yeah, that'd be bullying now, you know. I mean, that's a bad thing to do. We shouldn't give him a nickname, but he gets a nickname. Did he do anything we wouldn't do? I mean, you know, he saw Him die. He saw Him go in the ground. I don't know. If I don't see Him risen, I'm not going to be believing that He's risen. So Thomas was probably no different than any of us, but look at what he does. Look at what Jesus asked him to do, and then look at his reaction to Jesus. This is what I want us to do, and this is how I want us to react as we go through this series together. John 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other apostles told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will not believe." I have to touch the wounds. I have to touch Him. Otherwise, a ghost, who knows? 8 days later, His disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, I think this is His invitation to us as well, because He talks to everyone at the end of this section. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it at my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." He invited Thomas to contemplate Him, to look at Him, to see Him. That's what He invites us to do, to look at Him. And then look at how Thomas reacted. And this is my prayer every week as we go through this, that we would react in this same way. Thomas answered Him, "My Lord and my God." He looking at Jesus, made him believe more deeply in Jesus. And it made him worship Jesus. It changed him. I want that for me. I want that for you. I want that for us. And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed." So in that, Jesus invites us to contemplate Him, and as we do, to believe, and as we believe, to worship like Thomas did. And as we believe and as we worship, we will find life. We will find life. Look at earlier in John chapter 1. I think that look at what it says about who Jesus is. John chapter 1, verse 4. "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." And then look, that the light was life in Jesus. Look at John 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Jesus is talking, "but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The light is in Jesus, and the light is life, and He came so that we would have that life. And then look at John 14. As we look at Jesus, and as we contemplate Him, and as we see Him in ever greater in His fullness and His glory, and as we are brought to believe more and worship Him, we are brought to the Father. Look at John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then look at the end of John, when John talks about everything that he wrote. John 20, we'll start in verse 30. But it's 31 is the good one. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. So everything he wrote, he said, I wrote all this so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So I want you to see him. I'm lifting him up in this book. I wrote all this book to lift up Christ. I want you to see him. I want you to see him. And as you see him, you'll, like Thomas, that just happened a couple of seconds ago, I want you to believe in him. And we saw what Thomas did as he believed. He worshiped, will worship him. And then he says, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The goal as we go through this is not learn theory about Jesus. The goal as we go through this is to see Christ in ever-increasing fullness so that every week we leave here going, wow, that's another side of Jesus. That's I knew that before. I learned that in Sunday school. None of this is new. Oh, but I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it again. And the more we see him, the more we will find the life that is in him. As we go through this, I want to give just a couple of application points today that we can kind of hang our hats on. As we go through this and as we talk about Jesus, and maybe even today, if as we go through this and we talk about Jesus and we lift him up and we read verses that talk about who he is and what he is and what he has done and what he will do, and we focus just on Jesus, what I believe will happen if you've never decided to follow Jesus, if you've never repented and been baptized and I want to follow him, that what will happen as we do that is the Holy Spirit will pull on you and he will draw you to Jesus. And you will be sitting there thinking, maybe even now, but maybe as we go through this, you'll be sitting there thinking, I want to follow him. I want to give my life to him. When that happens, when you feel that, when you're pulled towards that, tell someone, I want to repent and be baptized. I want to make my decision to follow Jesus. As we lift him up, let the Spirit draw you to him. And if you've already made your decision to follow Jesus, here's a practical application for you and I. As you're reading the Bible this week, because we read the Bible, right? We listen to God so every day we open up the Bible, and maybe even as we end the day, maybe over lunch, we read the Bible throughout the day because we're Christians. We love Jesus and we want to hear his voice. So as you do that, okay, he said everything is about him. Look for him. Wherever you read a paragraph, you read a verse, you read a chapter, you read a book, whatever you read that and say, okay, at the end you're supposed to say, what should that say? What should I do? Apply it to yourself. But add another question. Say, what does that say about Jesus? Ask yourself that. Just as you go through and you're doing your reading this week, ask yourself, what does this say about Jesus? Let's train ourselves to find Jesus in all of the text as we read the Bible so that we're not just lifting him up on Sunday morning, but as we go through the weeks, as we're reading the Bible, we're seeing him in every moment. Let's do that together. Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we'll sing together. God, we come to you right now and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. And thank you for Jesus. But God, we would ask that you would make us know you and make us love you, make us see you, make us believe in you, make us worship you, that Jesus would be the center, not something that we take for granted, but that he would be the center of our hearts, of our passion, of our love, of our work, of our life as a congregation, of our life as a Christian, when we read the Bible, that it would all be about Jesus, and that you would use this time, God, to draw me and my heart closer to you, and that you would use this time to draw all of our hearts to see and love Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.